Thanks be to the Lord that it is so. People change. Times change. But the Lord remains the same forever. There is never a change, never a darkening. He dwells in a light where no one has access to. God is unbribable. God doesn't take any side. God has a plan. He has a program. And into this plan, He wants to introduce mankind. Alone this matters. Not to play religion. Not to celebrate services or hold church activities, but really become a part of the eternal plan of God. To ensure that, we must have eternal life. And eternal life does not come from a religious activity. It is written, in Him was eternal life, and the life was the light of men. He who has Him has eternal life, and he who has not Him has not eternal life. Also I am grateful for last night. There are no better meetings than those in which God can be at work. Meetings in which the Word and the Spirit of God can be at work, that really something happens that will reach into eternity. And this was the case. Also today, we are here in great expectation. Not in the expectation to see or to find out what kind of lecture can be given. Men of God did not give lectures. They did not philosophize. Men of God, being moved of the Spirit, they preached the Word, and this in a way that others who heard it understood God's plan of salvation, that they were saved. The same is still happening today. As we read it last night, the Apostle Paul said, not with high words of human wisdom or knowledge, but in simplicity, the word of the cross was preached, and all must go on their knees, bowing before the crucified one, and acknowledge that there the salvation, the reconciliation, and the pardoning of mankind happened by God. You all know, I came around quite a lot. I was exactly in 100 countries, visiting them personally, and I preached there the word of the Lord. I have seen and heard many things. Also of other religions, I've seen, heard, and read. Christianity is not a religion. This the people made out of it. In Christ, God revealed Himself personally to stretch out to mankind the hand of reconciliation, to bring mankind back into the fellowship with Himself, from which it left and was separated from God. And as I said it last night, it didn't just happen somewhere, in some place. It happened in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And therefore, the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ is a necessity, a divine must. There is no other way. There is no other truth. There is no other life. There is no salvation in any other. That's what the Jews, Muslims, Christians, Hindus, and who they are need to be told. He who wants to be saved must walk on God's way. And Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father but by me. He is the way, the truth, and life." How grateful we can be that this touched our hearts. Most people have their religion in their head. Also, when they meditate and think they can be lost somewhere, they are already lost. They don't need to get lost in meditation. Salvation comes alone from the Lord. But when you lose your thoughts, nothing is changing on us at all. When we again return to ourselves, we see us there where we were before. But he who comes to the Lord and calls upon his name, he doesn't remain where he was. He gets saved. He comes out of the realm of darkness and is translated into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of his dear Son, as written. And there is nothing more beautiful for me than to experience that people have an experience with God. This is the most beautiful experience. A songwriter sings it. This was the most beautiful day that God ever gave me, when Jesus came into my dark life. The most beautiful day is that day on which you received assurance of being saved, on which it was testified to you by the Spirit, "Now God accepted me. From now on, I have become his possession and remain it forever." Our Lord says, "I have come so that they might have life and that they have it more abundantly." Life from God. Life worked by the Spirit. Eternal life. He says in the Gospel of John, chapter 7, that the Spirit who would come, that this Spirit would become a well of water in us, springing up into eternal life. Not what we are able to do, but what God has done. This counts, and he has done it for us, with us, and on us by his grace. How many are glad about it? I believe all of us who we experienced God. Sometimes I'm a bit sad about that I place myself into the thoughts and the attitude of the people and think maybe some are here who are newly added, who then want to hear a polished speech, everything nicely in order, how it should be. And suddenly they find out there it is preached in simplicity, but by this it will remain until the end. We are not here to let ourselves be heard and seen. We are here to take care that nobody is seen and heard than Jesus alone, as Savior, as Healer, as the one who saves. I have of a lady who underwent surgery in the hospital in Düsseldorf. She asked me to tell you that God has helped. This lady is 85 years old, and she was very afraid of the operation. And I was in this hospital until right before the operation, some days ago, and I held her hand and I noticed how troubled she was. And it did well to her to know that somebody is here who prays. One sees it in particular at such occasions when people have not the assurance to be a possession of the Lord. Afterwards, she had then the courage and said to the professor, "These were the prayers that helped, and also you should go there and hear this Mr. Frank, for he preaches the Word of God rightly." This courage she had, it's a wonderful testimony. And then I also spoke with this professor, and we hope that God really will still call out some. I just believe it, that God, before the door closes, before the time of grace is really coming to its end, and this will be soon, that still a rich harvest will be brought in. When I saw this lady advanced in age, I remembered the word from Isaiah 46, maybe also addressed to all of us, and then we come back to the New Testament. In Isaiah 46, in verse 3 and 4, it says, "Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, and even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you.
Euch auch fernerhin tragen. Ja, ich will beladen bleiben und erretten."
A hymn writer sings, God wants to carry you on hands so gentle. He carries us until the old age. And here it is said, from the mother's womb, I carried you. I have taken the responsibility for you. You are mine. I carry you. I care for you. I'm around you. Yes, from the mother's womb, I carried you and will do it even to your old age. Some of us are already of old age. They are troubled how it shall go on. As a youth, you probably don't understand this. But if the time would still last, then there would still come some lesson along our way. People of older age, they wonder how it will be at the end than the people who just start life. Let it be said to you today from the Lord, He carries you. He took you as a burden. You are not alone. He carries you. He is with you until the end. Yes, He is here to take you over when the last hour comes and when the last moments come. He is not only faithful during life, He is also there in the hour of death. He took care for everything. Don't care for nothing. Trust the Lord. He will bring it to pass. Even to your old age, I am He. And even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made it until now. Amen. The Lord says, I have made it until now, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. Not condemn, deliver. This is the divine purpose, our salvation. God does not want that someone gets lost, but that he has eternal life. As we said many times, there's only one who has eternal life, and this is God. Also, all the angels, all cherubims and seraphims, they had sometime a beginning. They were created sometime, as also man was created. But God has no beginning. God has no end. God is from eternity to eternity. And God wants that people are with Him in eternity. And therefore, He Himself had to come into the flesh. He had to become man, so that the life of God can be manifested here on earth. And therefore, also the quoted verse, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Our Lord did not come to establish a new religion, to found something. He came to seek and to save what is lost. He came to redeem our life from destruction and to crown us with mercy and loving kindness. For this purpose He came. The core of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ must be put into the center. No man can be taught into the kingdom of God. One can learn the great and the little catechism inside out. This doesn't help anything. What has this to do with getting saved? Nothing at all. And right this, what for most people is a stumbling block, this became to them who get saved the greatest blessing, namely the cross. As we heard it last night, the preaching of the cross is to some foolishness, to others an offense, and they say, huh, why should this be? Did God need to go this way or to choose this way to save us? Look, everything goes back to paradise, to the fall. One has to know what happened there, to then understand why God has done what He did. By the fall, mankind was separated from God, and it had to be reconciled with Him again. And right this happened on the cross of Calvary. Let us go back to the read word and then to some other scriptures. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we have read wonderful things, namely from verse 10. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Everything what comes from God is given to us by the revelation of the Spirit. To whom God does not reveal Himself, he will never know who God is. He will have an intellectual conception, a manufactured thing about God, but he will never know who God really is, and he will not be able to understand the revelation of God in Christ unless it is revealed to him by the Spirit. Here, Paul wrote to the believers and said, but God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Not a man, not in a lesson. Unto us God has revealed it by His Spirit. How does God reveal His will and His word? By the Spirit, under the proclamation of the whole plan of salvation of God, piece by piece, yes, God's whole plan of salvation is revealed to the people under the proclamation by the Spirit of God. We don't need to go from house to house, not to knock here and there at the doors and tell the people that they should wake up. No, many should wake up who say to others that they should wake up. What good is it for a man to represent a doctrine that is empty and that is not biblical at all? No doctrine, no denomination, and no church, but the faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. And this is a faith that is worked under the preaching by the Spirit, not something that is arranged, but what is happening in our hearts. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. There were people who were led by the Spirit of God, and everything divine stands on a higher ground. People have no access through the human spirit to search there. That's how we read it last night. Where would be a researcher? Where would be a scholar to whom God could reveal Himself? They search into their own direction. They follow up their own thoughts. But God says, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Namely, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are the thoughts of God higher than our thoughts. Therefore, God could never appoint scribes as His servants and messengers. He took shepherds, He took farmers, He took men who had not yet any conception in them how and what God should do, who were simple, just like, for instance, an Elisha. When Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle over him and then walked on, Elijah told him, stay where you are. But he knew what had to be done. He went back and led these 12 oxen, or how many it were, to be slaughtered, and he used the yokes to make fire to lay the sacrifices on it, and from that moment on, there was no going back anymore. Where else should he return? There was only one way, and this was the way with God. What happened? There goes a man on his way, takes off his mantle, throws him over another man, and already this man who plowed, he understood what it was about. Beloved, we don't belong to them who like to take care for that people don't pursue their education. On the contrary, it belongs to life that also believers, like unbelievers, do the same works. But when it is about the things of the kingdom of God, then here no research has to be done, but to humble himself before the Almighty God and to have a connection with God. And from this connection to God flows unto us divine revelation, that we see all things in the light of God and understand it rightly. It is even appropriate when the children of believing parents bring better marks home, that they are more diligent and do whatever they can. But let it be emphasized again, also a Paul, who knew a lot, he said, I leave everything behind and count it as dung, even it was valuable to me before, to know Christ, yes, to know him in the power of his resurrection, and to partake in his sufferings, to partake then also in the resurrection. One has to place the things correctly. Biblical faith does not come from the intellect. It comes by the foolish preaching. Also this we read last night. What a professor would not consider himself too good for preaching a foolish sermon. That would be the lowest level. One has to remain who and what one is. One has to pay attention to rank, reputation and title. With God, we can forget all titles and humble ourselves in his presence. There the professor and the street sweeper are next to one another in the same row. There are no priorities. There is a humbling under the mighty hand of God. No man can come and say, Lord, I am this and that. The Lord would give us the same answer as we find it in Matthew 7. Narrow is the gate, and straight the way which leads to life, and there are only few who find it. Broad is the way, and wide the gate that leads to destruction, and there are many who walk on it. The decision must be made whether a person wants to walk on the broad way into perdition or coming on the narrow way that leads to life. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Before that, Paul writes, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, namely the things which God has prepared for them who love him. Who can love him? only those who know that He loved them, loving them. For God so much loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that all who believe on Him should not perish, but have eternal life. God stands to His word. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and also you will be saved. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. This God prepared for them who love Him. Do you love God? Have you recognized the love of God towards you? Did you respond to it? For he who is loved by Him, He will love him in return. He said, He who loves me, He will keep my word. We love Him, and we love all whom He loves. Yes, we love all people, even all the people don't love us. For we don't know whom God ordained for eternal life. One thing we know, that from the very beginning, it was the preaching of the gospel through which God wanted to call the people into the kingdom of God. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I have, in the past week, in the week before, when I listened to the radio and when they spoke about water baptism, there I also came forward. Probably I was late. I don't want to accuse anyone of malice. In any case, I phoned the radio station in Cologne, and the lady asked what I want to say. And the two topics, or the two things that were spoken about, was on one hand the baptism of children, and on the other hand the baptism of adults. And I simply said, dear lady, I would make the suggestion that we speak also about the baptism of believers. Oh, she said, this is interesting. I will forward it. Maybe we will phone you back. They didn't call me back. Why? This God alone knows. It is not about baptizing children or adults. It is about that our Lord said very plain and clear, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. To believe is the condition for baptism. The Lord said nothing about godparents. Or, my Lord didn't say anything, and he didn't say anything about many other things, what is being discussed today. And what always hurts me at such occasions is the fact that one is on a totally wrong way, that the core, which is actually all about, is not touched at all. And that's why I think that a balanced biblical proclamation would be finally appropriate also in our country. Who would be for it? That we let God have to say so. Not in a fanatic way, but that we bring the word of the Lord as it is written and as it was taught at the beginning, to bring it to mankind once again. Paul said back then, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I would like it best to invite for the Easter meetings a radio or TV station. Something just moves me. May God appoint the time. But I'm convinced that we have the message of God, the revealed word with all the promises, and we are not ashamed of it. The prophets were misunderstood. The apostles were misunderstood. Our Lord was misunderstood. But the prophets were sent by God, and we are glad that they didn't keep silent, but they spoke in the name of the Lord, and that what they said was written down. The apostles were forbidden to preach in the name of Jesus Christ, and there Peter said boldly, "Judge for yourselves. Is it right that we obey men more than God?" The decision was very simple. Not what people call wrong is wrong, but right is that what God has left as right in His Word. And the Word, the Holy Scripture, is the measuring rod for every person who wants to become a believer. And then you see already that the scope is narrowed. It's not the joining of a church or denomination, but really the original requirement of our Lord. Except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. On the day of Pentecost, the 120 in the upper room, they seemed drunk to the people who came there. They said, "Are they all drunk? It is only the ninth hour of the day." Peter stood up and said, "Brethren, listen to me, all ye who dwell in Jerusalem and who you have come here. These are not drunken, as ye suppose, but here is being fulfilled what the prophet Joel said. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, you can read it in Matthew 21. There, the multitude was thrilled. "Hosanna in the highest! Blessed is he that cometh," and so forth. What was it? A divine enthusiasm about that, what happened among them according to the plan of salvation. When we sleep and are not enthused, not overwhelmed, not seized, then we didn't experience yet the divine message in its impact. Then we have heard it without having experienced the impact of revelation. Dear Brother Branham, in his sermon in the Seven Seals, he said something very wonderful. It is written in Revelation, "And to the oil and the wine do not harm." Oil points always to the Holy Spirit. Everything was consecrated to God and anointed with oil. Kings and priests, the vessels in the temple, everything was consecrated to God by anointing with oil. But here comes wine to it. Wine stimulates. It brings a good mood into the thing that was revealed by the Spirit. Beloved, when I think about and when I realize how gracious God was to us, and that He revealed unto us His Word for this time. What an overwhelming, what a joy should fill us all. Also here the thought came to me that we should just be positive in our thinking and in our attitude. The unbelievers are always happy, maybe not all, but the believers, they just, including me, they have just the tendency to be ill-tempered, to make a long face. About what? Are we sad? No, we are joyous. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And God spoke with us through His wonderful Word. About this, we feel great joy. Who said it back then? I think it was Mary in her prayer when she said, "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." It must overwhelm us when God does something. If this is not the case, then the impact is not here yet. Then we have heard it, maybe also received it, but it must overwhelm us. It must be followed by something. An effect must be produced. Here, in Luke 1, verse 45, it says, Luke 1:45, "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." What is the main subject in the kingdom of God in this time? The fulfillment of Bible prophecy. We live in a prophetic age in which is being fulfilled of what the prophets and our Lord and the apostles spoke before our very eyes. And our Lord said in Luke 21, "When you see these things coming to pass, then lift up your heads, for you know that your redemption is drawing near." It must trigger a joy in our soul when the Lord revealed Himself to us, when His Word was revealed to us by His Spirit, and when we suddenly, with anointed eyes, can see what God already said and revealed by the Word and Spirit. And when we may observe it in its fulfillment, this is not a speculation. This is revelation of the Word, fulfillment of Bible prophecy before our eyes. Over and again, our Lord said, "When you see these things coming to pass, then you know that the time is here." The time is here. It doesn't come first. The time is here. The time of God among His people. And for this we need a positive thinking and positive attitude. Away with all negative thoughts. Away with all negative conversations. How many think, "Oh, I'm so bad off, I don't feel well." And in no time at all, they really don't feel well. Their thinking brought to them what they said or thought. In the kingdom of God, we should really push every thought aside which doesn't bring us closer to God, which wants to bring something against the brother or against a sister. Just everything negative, putting it aside, and thank the Lord together for that what He has done. Who can say to us, God revealed by the Spirit, in what time we live? Amen. To us, God revealed by the Spirit, which promises He has given for these days in His Word. Amen. By grace, we recognized the messenger and the message and the day of God's gracious visitation we may experience. You all know how it was with the people back then, when after 7 times 7 years, that is in the 50th year, when the trumpet sounded and when the people could go out freely. What a day this must have been for the slaves. They were in debt. They had to work off what they owed, and suddenly the trumpet was blown. The year of Jubilee was proclaimed, and all who were in debt were free. Jesus, our Lord, said, "The Spirit of the Lord God rests upon me." To do what? To proclaim this year, the acceptable year. I read it to you. With this he referred to the year of Jubilee. And the year of Jubilee is the acceptable year of the Lord. It began with the first coming of Christ and ends with the second coming of Christ. I read from Luke chapter 4 from verse 17. "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.'" That's how the preaching of the gospel began, on the basis on that what was foreshadowed throughout the whole Old Testament. Now came the reality, now came the true redemption and deliverance, and our Lord personally, He proclaimed this year of Jubilee. All can go out freely. Dear heart, no one needs to get lost. No one needs to die in his sin. No one needs to leave here burdened with guilt. Our Lord Himself proclaimed this year of Jubilee. Ye are free. He wants to say, I have redeemed you. I have delivered you. I have called you by thy name. You are mine. Did we experience this? Did it overwhelm you? Did you come inwardly into a good mood? Precious heart, when people go watching a soccer game, then suddenly they are in a good mood, here and there, in every sport, wherever it might be. When the people are really in the matter, then they come into a good mood. What is with us? Oh, that a divine mood could come. come up, that we would become aware of what it means to have been pardoned by God, to have found the way of salvation, and then even the revelation of all that what God promised to His people. Not the wise and scholars have made it known to us, but when the time was fulfilled, God sent a prophetic message to put the word of prophecy anew upon the lampstand. When the time was fulfilled, God revealed all the mysteries of the word that remained hidden. For thus it is written in the Holy Scripture. What did the prophet Daniel say already back then? And what was the announcement? The wise and the prudent cannot interpret it, not some kind of gods. You all know, in the days of Daniel, all these wise men were called, even the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers. All them should interpret the mysterious handwriting on the wall. And then they had to admit that they are not acquainted with this. They could not accomplish anything. And Daniel said, if you cannot tell me, it was also about a dream, interpretation here and there. There were some experiences there. The wise wanted that the king tells them the dream, and then they would give him the interpretation. And this could go then into all directions under heaven. There would then be no possibility of verification. And Daniel said, if you can't give me the dream and its interpretation, then Darius, that's right, thank you, then it's finished with you. What was it? They could do nothing. And suddenly a lady came and said, in your kingdom is a man. Amen. A man of God, a prophet, a man to whom the word and the will of God was revealed. And he said, I'm also not able to do that what the king requires. But there is a God in heaven who reveals the mysteries. Hallelujah. And he went to his three friends and said, remember me in prayer. And it was done. On the next day, he could tell the dream and the interpretation. There were men in the kingdom of God who were joined with God, men to whom God spoke and through whom he spoke, also in critical times. Right then, we need God and God's speaking. And I believe that we arrived in a very critical time. Everything is in confusion. Everything is mixed up in a spiritual mess. There had to be shown the clear divine direction. The original doctrine had to be put anew upon the lampstand. And you know, the wise and the prudent don't know their way around. They have even trouble with Matthew 28 and the practical carrying out of the Great Commission. Also here, flesh and blood does not reveal it. It must be a revelation of God. And every person who reads slowly and who has the fear of God in his heart He will respect the word as it is written. Therefore, go into all the world, teach all nations, make disciples in all nations, baptizing them into the name. And here the people fail. They don't understand that here it is about the name. Hallowed be thy name. God is not an unknown, not a nameless God. God has a redemptive name for the time of the new covenant. In the Old Testament is Yahweh, the covenant name of the Lord God. There were many titles with Elohim and many titles with Yahweh. But the name Yahweh was the covenant name of God, the Lord, in the Old Testament. He is Lord of hosts. He is Lord Sebaot. He is many things. But the name Yahweh, this was the covenant name. God said to Moses, I revealed myself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but my name I have not revealed to them. With the making of the covenant, the name was made known, which belongs to the making of the covenant, and this was the name Yahweh. In the same way, God revealed himself in the New Testament as Father in heaven. Therefore we pray, Our Father who art in heaven. We don't pray in another way. That's how he taught us to pray. The same God revealed himself in the Son, who could say, He who sees me sees the Father. Believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. For not I do these works, but the Father who dwells in me, he does his works. So, the same God manifested in the Son to thus speak sons and daughters of God into existence after the first image of the firstborn. Christ, the beginning of the new creation, the firstborn of this divine creature, he, the beginning, and we shall be like he is, and will be transformed into his image. So, God revealed as Father, in the Son, and on the day of Pentecost, through the Holy Spirit, God above us, God with us, and finally, God in us. Three manifestations of God. But the one name that belongs to our redemption, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And you all know, the Greek form Jesus should actually be called Yahshua. From this the name Joshua was derived. That simply means Yahweh Savior. Not only Yahweh, but Yahweh Savior. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. In this name, God revealed himself to mankind in Christ. And when it's written there, and baptize them into the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, then the Spirit reveals unto us, as to Peter, as to Paul, and to Philip, that this name is Jesus Christ our Lord. And therefore, all baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, very simple. And the scholars say, you see, the Bible contradicts itself. No, this is not right. The Bible cannot contradict itself. The Bible is always right. The misunderstanding and the contradiction is in the interpretation of the people, which is in the head, but not in the Word of God. No, we are so thankful to the Lord, grateful with all our hearts, that we, this wonderful time of grace, the finishing, that we can witness and experience it, and let us be willing to bear reproach for the name of Jesus. All the others, no matter into which direction they go or belong, they don't bear a reproach, whether it's the charismatic movement, whether the Pentecostal movement, whatever it might be. Who bears reproach? Who bears reproach today? Jesus said back then, "For my name's sake, you will be hated by all the peoples." In the moment where people are here, to whom this name was revealed, which is above every name, in its divine significance, for the baptism, for the prayer. In fact, when this name is revealed to them by the Spirit, then they glorify it rightly, because in them the revelation took place. The others sing, "Oh, it is Jesus, oh, it is Jesus." And when he comes to them and says, "Actually, you should be baptized in this name," oh, then they lash out with their hands and feet. Then they get into big trouble. But why, when one exalts this name with a mouth, why not in the deed, confessing it? This is then the second step. This would just belong to it. But the Lord said, no one can come to me, to a church, to a denomination, all can come. But the Lord says, no one can come to me, except the Father draws him first. And he who is drawn by God, through the Spirit, and comes not only to a church, but to Christ, and has an experience with him, to him he reveals himself. To him he reveals himself. He no longer puzzles or guesses. To him he reveals himself. We can all confidently sing, "You revealed yourself to me." He has revealed himself to us by his grace. We know who he is. The Yahweh of the Old Testament became Jesus of the New Testament. He could say in the Gospel of John, "Before Abraham was, I am." It was him who walked in the Garden of Eden, but not yet as Son of God, as Yahweh, as Lord in the spiritual body. He belonged to the team of three men who visited Abraham in Genesis 18. That's written a couple of times in the singular. And the Lord remained with Abraham, and the two angels went to Sodom. It is him who spoke to the prophets, and through the prophets, he is the Logos, who came in the beginning out of the fullness of God, and who came into a visible shape of appearance. The invisible God, who is Spirit, coming into a visible shape of appearance. This is Yahweh. This is the Logos. This is the Lord. As it said in the Old Testament, he was in immortality of the body, and therefore he had to, as written in Hebrews, for a short time he had to be made lower than the angels, so that he can suffer and die, and thus swallow up death into victory, and to take away the power of death, and to bring incorruptible life unto light. Believe me, all scriptures have their right to exist. When it's written of the Son of God, then this is true and right. When it's written of him as Son of Man, then it's also right. When it's written of the Son of David, it's also right. When he's king, prophet, and priest, then it's also right. When he's mediator and advocate, then it's also right. Is he human? Then it's also right. He was human. He was found in the fashion of a man. He ate and drank. He got tired. These are not the characteristics of God. He was made in the likeness of man. And do you know, in the recent days, I was thinking about it, that our Savior, at the age of 12, he was in the temple. And I thought by myself, how can one formulate it? There, a boy, at the age of 12, how shall I address him? Shall I say, this was the Lord? The Lord has no age. The Lord is from eternity to eternity. And here, the Lord, wrapped in swaddling cloths, laid into a manger. But that's how it was. For how it is written, today, Christ the Lord is born unto you in the city of David. Think of it, the Lord of glory left all glory, all dominion, and became man here, begotten by the Holy Spirit, a holy body in which he was manifested here. He grew in grace and wisdom. When we speak earthly, he grew up into the full measure. Oh, how great is our God! He took so many things upon him for our sakes, and then he was even mocked and scoffed at. He was Lord when he was born. He was Lord when he was there in the temple, according to our time calculation, at the age of 12. He was Lord at the age of 30. He was Lord before a million of years and after a million. He just came into time. To us, who we are subject to time, and by it subject to corruption, to become like us, and to take us out from this corruption, and to give us by grace eternal life. Don't you worry. By grace, we may let every scripture be as it is written, and then recognizing what a meaning and what a significance it has for us. When Paul wrote there, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, then we can say the same today. To us, the revelation of Jesus Christ was really given to us by the Spirit. God wanted to bring humanity back into its divine condition. And therefore, the Holy Scripture speaks of the divine kindred, of the holy priesthood, of royal kings, who we are, and that God made out of us. Can you understand this? Can you accept it? Can you believe it? Has it become a revelation to you? He made himself of no reputation and became obedient unto the death on the cross, to then, by his obedience, abolish our disobedience, and to give all who are obedient to him eternal life by grace. God has done great things. Please, don't rack your brain about it, but believe with all your heart that it happened for our sake, and take and draw the blessing from it, which the Lord intended for us. He said, I will carry you even to your old age, until you got gray, I will bear you. I carry you. I will be with you all the days until the end of the world. Ye older brothers and sisters, take it personally for you. When it doesn't go as you like, as you were used to, then say, Lord, you bear me. You separated me from my mother's womb. And you all know, these were actually the prophets. They were separated from their mother's womb to belong and serve the Lord. Also we, all who are part of the first resurrection, they were chosen from God before the foundation of the world. God knew when and where we would be born. He knew our life. No one could determine. Everything must go the way He wants. Don't quarrel with yourself, not with your fate. Thank God that He pardoned you and that He gave you the privilege to recognize all that, what was given to us by God in Christ. And may also this be fulfilled, that an overwhelming gets hold of us, that we really become more grateful. I know we can't really put it into words, and it also doesn't depend on the volume, but it depends on the intimacy that we give to God wholeheartedly our due thanks, not out of a must, but out of the urge of our heart to give Him the worship. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what didn't enter into any man's heart, this God prepared for them who love Him. And we may love Him and keep His commandments, and we may love one another in the divine love and bear one another. God bears us all. Let us also endure one another in the love of God. Praise be to His name. Amen. We stand up for prayer. Lord, together we thank You today. We are overwhelmed. We just cannot put it into words. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. No, we follow You, and You are the Word. And whoever follows You will not remain in darkness, but have the light of life. Your Word is being revealed and becomes a light on our path. Lord, I thank You, so extensive, so manifold is Thy working, Thy speaking, yes, Thy doing in our days. Thank You that we may live now, and that You opened our eyes, that You helped our hearts to understand, as You did then. Lord, did not our hearts burn when You spoke with us? Beloved Lord, I'm aware of it more than ever before, that not a man, but that the Spirit of God brought the Word by human lips, that He revealed the mysteries. Lord, You said, do not be worried about what you shall say, for it will be given to you in that hour what you shall say. We thank You for the many hours of inspiration of Your Spirit, of the direct inspiration of the anointing of the Holy Spirit and revelation of thy word and of thy will. Lord, you have a people on earth who know you and who are known by you. A people who are called by thy name and who honor your name. We ask you, save, deliver, bring into your church all who are ordained for eternal life. Lord, you blessed us also in this service. You showed us what you prepared for us, and also that we must have eternal life to be with you eternally. Beloved Lord, you have come from glory. You took upon yourself the form of a servant. You became man for the sake of man. And now, out of children of men, you made children of God, all who believe on your name. Hallelujah. Praise and glory be unto you. And so we thank you also that the hour has come near when you will return to take your own home. Lord, by grace, we will be there and see you and spend with you eternity. May your holy blessing rest upon all of us. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise and glory be unto God. Amen. Beloved, I am reminded on Revelation 5, where the Lamb took the book to loosen the seals, to open and to reveal. And it is written, no one was found worthy, only the Lamb, which is at the same time also the Lion from the tribe of Judah. As Lamb, he is Redeemer. As Lion, he is King, but always the same, although shown in different fields of duty. But then the 24 elders fell down and they worshipped. There was a praise and worship that ascended to God. May we also, with grateful hearts and a joyous opening of our mouths, sing to the glory of our Lord. Thou art worthy, thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive praise, honor, and glory and worship. Thou art worthy, O Lord.
Hallelujah, glory, glory, hallelujah.
seine Wahrheit schreitet voran. Amen.